Before I start, I just want to tell a story, a little bit of how I became interested in military families. When I started public health school, I just left a busy clinical practice working at a cancer center in Boston in end-of-life care and working with people who were sick with cancer. And military life was not on my radar at all. And I sometimes think my story would be a little bit better if I could make some connection. I have a stepdad who's a retired Marine and served in both Gulf Wars, and I have a good friend whose brother's in Afghanistan now. But for me, the connection really is unnecessary suffering. And I think in my clinical work, just as I felt like it was unjust that people died unnecessarily or died in pain or in places they didn't want to die of cancer, I feel equally unjust that we send our soldiers off to war and don't prepare them or their families for the consequences of what happens to them when they're away and when they come home. So, and I have nothing to disclose. So I want to start with this slide because for me it's just a focusing point of trying to think about this this soldier and sort of his experiences. And I think we're learning more and more about the impacts of war on individual soldiers, and we have a lot to learn about what happens to their families and the people who love them when they come home. So what do we know about parents in the military? This data is from Department of Defense data in 2008. It's active duty and reserve data, so it doesn't include veterans. And we know that 1.88 million children have had a parent in the military. Over 40% of our service members have children, and there's a significant population of single parents with 5.3% active duty and 8.7% in selected reserve, which you guys know now what that is. And adolescents with military parents, what we know is fairly limited. There's some work from previous wars that help inform what we know now. There's some more recent work that's mostly qualitative. There's some quantitative work on sort of younger children, and there was one key quantitative paper that came out this year in January that was really focused on adolescents. But other than that, we don't know very much about adolescents who've had parents in the military. So from this literature, some key themes that we do know: healthy development is interrupted, there's a preoccupation with worry and anxiety, and that's both with the deployed parent and also the home parent. Adolescents in qualitative work reported over and over again worry usually about the mother and her coping and how she's doing just as much as they were concerned about the parent who was deployed. Behavior problems at home and school, I think, are well documented. And I would say universally from all wars and all literature, there's this adjustment stress due to new and changing roles and responsibilities. And that's through all phases of deployment. So as parents are gearing up to be deployed during their deployment and also when they return home, which I think is becoming a more critical point in our understanding of and challenges. Gosh, I keep doing that. So the purpose of my study was to examine the association of parental military service and adolescent well-being in a population-based sample in Washington State. And we used the Washington State Healthy Youth Survey, and it's a survey that more or less was started in 2002. It's given every other year to 8th, 10th, and 12th graders in Washington State. In 2008, there was a question added about parental military service where we were able to look at and see civilian military and then military parents who have had a deployment to combat. Our well-being measures, we looked at a quality of life, which is a quality of life scale, a depressed mood, that was a couple of questions that I think were a proxy for depression, and then thoughts of suicide. We had an N of 10,606 students. Our sample was 48% boys, 52% girls, and then you can see 8th graders were the largest portion of the sample at 41%, with 32% in 10th grade and 27% in 12th grade. And these are race ethnicity characteristics deployed as on top, military, and then civilian. The white students are in gold, black students are in blue, and Hispanic students make up the pink. And our other category, we included missing data, students who checked a box that said they didn't run report their race, people who identified as other, and then there's a very small portion of Asian students in our sample that we included in the other category as well. So, these characteristics, so deployed is on top, military is next, and then civilian, and maternal education is greater than 12 years, and you can see that military parents, which is interesting, have a higher proportion of parents who, or mothers who are better educated or have more than a high school education. Poor academic achievement was self-reported, students saying they mostly get C's, D's, or F's. So you can see the deployed children report that more than military children who report that more than civilian. Drug use was any drug use, not alcohol use, but any drug use, including marijuana, within 30 days. So students who said yes to that question, you see that deployed military and civilian. I should point out it's a 0 to 40 scale, so that could be a little tricky. And then binge drinking is think back over the last 2 weeks. How many times have you had five or more drinks in a row? And they defined what a drink was. And so students who said yes to that, which is, I think, shockingly high at almost 25% for deployed children, or deployed parents with children. So these are unadjusted outcomes, and not controlling for anything. And so civilian, again, in the gold, deployed in the pink, and you can see almost a dose response to reporting more low, or having lower quality of life, depressed mood, and thoughts of suicide were highest in each of the deployed categories. We had significant effect modification by gender and grade, so the next results are gonna be stratified. This is eighth grade girls, and our significant result was with eighth grade girls with a deployed parent. We're at highest, reported the highest risk of thoughts of suicide, so our odds ratio is 1.66. It was significant at a 0.01. And this is controlling for, as it says on the chart, race, grade, maternal education, academic achievement, binge drinking, and drug use. Some people looked at academic achievement in other literature as an outcome, but we kept it in the model because we were looking for, I think we were hoping for above and beyond these other things. Is there, you know, is a relationship maintained? So there were no significant results in the full model controlling for all of those things with 10th and 12th grade girls. And I have ideas about that. I'm curious if you all have ideas about why that might be, but nothing was significant. So for eighth grade boys, if you see under the deployed parent, both low quality of life and thoughts of suicide, adolescents were at highest risk for reporting those. The odds ratio is 2.1. And then for thoughts of suicide, eighth grade boys with a deployed parent, it was 1.75. And then for 10th and 12th grade boys, this was obviously the most concerning results. So 10th and 12th grade boys, both with a military parent and a parent who'd been deployed, were most likely to have low quality of life, report low quality of life, and report, so military parent, deployed parent, low quality of life, and then for deployed parents, 1.5 was the odds ratio for depressed mood and 1.64 for thoughts of suicide. So so the significant conclusions are there are significant differences between gender and grade, and then our major finding is that parental military service is a significant predictor of boys' low quality of life and depressed mood, including thoughts of suicide. The other quantitative paper that I mentioned that was very significant actually found the opposite results, that girls were at higher risk. Again, I'm curious what you all think of that as well. So the limitations, this is cross-sectional data. The data is self-reported, but we have no reason to believe that people would mischaracterize anything based on deployed parent or having a military parent. And then I think the biggest criticism of the study, which is out of my hands, is that we were completely unable to control for timing, duration, and frequency of deployment. So I don't know if someone's, injured in the hospital, if their parent is dead, if they're a veteran, we just have no idea. I don't know what the family structure looks like, the type of service or components, which is significant, the difference between active duty and the opportunity to be more connected to, I think, the military versus, I think, a lot of reservists live in neighborhoods. Their kids go to public school with kids who don't have reservist parents, and reservists are working, and then all of a sudden they're gone. So I think there's definitely been a growing body of literature that says those differences, which I agree are very significant, and also deployment experience. So implications for policy and practice. I think this is a contribution, I hope, to a growing body of research, and I think clearly points out we need to develop better targeted interventions and an enhancement of school and community-based resources and partnerships. There are a lot of resources for military families, and they are very disconnected. I think it's really hard to get a handle on. There's like 20 different places to get food and 80 places to get mental health help, but you don't know where to go, and people don't talk to each other, and I think it's cumbersome and confusing. And also, I think future research, we really need to better understand the unique features of these two wars. I want to thank my thesis committee. Janice Bell and Todd Edwards were incredibly helpful to me and continue to be as we work on some other papers. And then the Washington State Department of Health Healthy Youth Survey team, Lillian Binsley and Diane Pilkey, were also great. So that's all I have.
I just have one question, and then we have time for a question or two. Was there a way to correct for which parent was deployed?
No.
Okay. The answer was no to that. Any other questions for Sarah at this time? If not, oh, there's a question. Okay. Yes.
Repeat the question.
So I think your question is, so that military enlistment is protective for families, is that, and what, and why are my findings different?
Right.
So there was a qualitative paper that talked about, that interviewed school staff, parents, and different people working with adolescents, and they talked about that this idea of resiliency has been used up. And that I think because of multiple deployments and some of the changes with these wars, that in my personal belief, that kids can only be resilient with help. And I think I think the stress on families is different now than it used to be. And I think it's too much for them to overcome, even if they have supportive military base. But I think these kids are everywhere now too. And their parents are serving in maybe way like the National Guard in ways that they didn't used to be. I don't know. So, yeah. There's another. Can I take another one or no? I don't.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, you take another one.
Okay. All right.
I guess.
Sure. Just take.
Okay.
Repeat the question.
We use maternal education as a proxy for that. It's not the same, but it's close.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.